We have laid out for us today in the first reading from the book of the prophet Jonah, famous, beautiful story, and also in the Gospel of Mark, a pattern, you might say, that is very important for us to understand because it is at the core of how God works all throughout human history to reach out and to bring us to himself. So Jonah and Mark's Gospel, a very similar pattern that's happening. You might call it a set of movements that occur in the text. And the movements would go like this. The pattern is, it's in three parts. The first is one of proclamation. Message is given. The second is one of repentance or conversion. And the last is one of following after. So proclamation, repentance, following. That's kind of the threefold movement that's occurring in each of these readings that are paired together today for that reason on purpose. And it's good to understand this because, as I often say, quoting something that Pope Benedict always has said as well, God always speaks in the present tense. So when Jesus in today's gospel says repent, he means today, not just back then. When Jonah says repent, he means today, not just back then. So it's good to understand the movements in these stories because they didn't happen just once upon a time, they happen now too. So again, the question is, how do we find ourselves in that same movement that I'm describing? So to get there, to unpack a little bit this idea, in the case of Jonah, reluctant prophet, unlikely prophet, didn't want to go on this mission, but he went anyhow. He goes to Nineveh, the people who were sworn enemies of the Jewish kingdom at the time, and he tells them something straight out, very simply. He says, you have to change. 40 days more, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. So he gives a message that there is God, not the one they're worshiping, but the God, and that God is concerned about what's happening in their city. So the proclamation is made very simply, very cleanly, and very strongly. That happens. And then the results are fascinating, and in fact, it surprises even Jonah. They change. There's repentance that follows almost immediately. Jonah speaks, and then the people of Nineveh decide, we had better do something about this. They fast, they pray, they change their lives. So there's proclamation, there is definitely repentance. That's clear. The following after is more subtle in the book of Jonah, but it is there. The presumption is that now they're going to go on in a different pathway, and they're going to live on in God's righteousness, walking in a new way as a kingdom and as a people. So having heard the message, having changed their hearts, they now walk a new way. That's the movement in Jonah. Mark's gospel today follows the exact same pattern. Jesus arrives in his own hometown area in Galilee, and he preaches the kingdom. And he says it, he uses the R word, repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom is at hand. It's a very strong thing for him to say. So the proclamation is there, and he proclaims essentially his own message, his own very self. And they hear it. And then they change. In the case of the apostles who are called today, Andrew, Simon, those brothers, James and John, those brothers, a pair of brothers today, it says that they leave behind their industry and their livelihood and their families and their nets, and they leave. So that's a change of heart and a change of life that's very dramatic, just like in Jonah's case, something stark. And then, of course, they follow after, the last part of the pattern. They're going to become Jesus' companions, these first called, and they'll walk with him all the way to the bitter end. And even beyond that, they'll become martyrs themselves as time would pass, and they become his messengers to the world. So that's the pattern. Message is proclaimed, repentance occurs or some change, and there's a following after. So as I mentioned, we have to understand this because it's important to see how we all fall in this very, very same pattern. We're all part of the exact same dynamic. And the proof is that you're sitting here this morning in front of me. That means that you all are, we are all fruits of this pattern happening in history. So for example, at some point, and it's true for every single person in this room, by the way, everybody who is here, this is true for, at some point, somebody had to proclaim to you some message about the gospel. Probably a parent, maybe it was a grandfather, maybe it was a nun as a teacher in school, or a, I don't know, priest, a neighbor, whatever. Somehow you learned that there was God, that there was the gospel, that there was a moral law, that there were teachings, that there were sacraments, that there was a church, and that there was, in fact, the need for salvation. Jonah and Jesus are very clear. If you don't change, there are going to be consequences. You're going to perish. So at some point, this must have gotten across to you that there is God and he reaches out and he wants to be in friendship with us, with you personally, with us as a community. You heard it somewhere. It was proclaimed to you. And then, as a result, it may have happened quickly or slowly, you had to change. There was some repentance, some kind of conversion. Maybe this is dramatic. I mean, there are people who tell me, I see it all the time, Father, my life was in shambles, I was living on the wrong pathway, and then I heard about the gospel and Jesus, I went to confession, whatever, and now I'm a different person, a whole different person. That might be true. Maybe it's more subtle. Maybe it's 100 little decisions all the time that are that themselves make up conversion. I mean, so like, for example, this morning, you could have chosen to be someplace else, at a volleyball game, at home. You could have, I don't think you'd golf today, but you get the idea, right? You could have been any place else, but you chose to come here. That's an act of conversion. It's a choice, you see. So you heard the gospel, it sits in your heart, you respond by making a choice, and then the following after is the fact that you are still here coming back. We'll see if you're back here next weekend, right? But the idea is, or in some Catholic church someplace, but you are staying with it, I think, by and large, right? So we are all, you are all, fruits of this very same pattern. Didn't happen just once, not just in Jesus' time, happens right now. Which is really powerful to behold that. God acts in real ways in human hearts all throughout history, and we are the proof. It's good for us to really unpack this. It's good for us to place ourselves in these scriptural scenes for different reasons. You might remember that last March it was, the parish councils of St. Mary's at Cabrini decided that we needed to have a little in-mass survey and asked four or five basic questions of the people sitting in the pews in front of us. And one question we asked was, why are you here? Why are you Catholic? What brought you here? And the answers were very interesting to look at what people responded to, especially by an age breakdown. The people who were, by and large, older in life, let's say, their answers went like this. I grew up this way. I was baptized as a kid, grew up Catholic. I don't know any other way to be. That's a really good reason, frankly. It means that you have stayed with it all these years when you could have gone anyplace else, right? And by here, I don't so much mean this parish, I mean the Catholic Church, the universal church, right? You're still Catholic. People who are younger, let's call that myself and down, would be kind of like this. The answers were, we chose it as we got older in life from the menu of options in front of us. Could have been a Buddhist, could have been a Muslim, could have been this, could have been that, could have been a Lutheran, who knows? But we are Catholic because we've decided it's true. That there must be a pope, that there is a gospel, there are sacraments, and we're here because it is the true church. So a much more intentional kind of selection process in people who are younger, which is quite common today in anything in life, I think you would agree. But in either case, it's a choice. It's a choice, no? So I think it'd be really good for us all here to engage in the mental exercise of putting ourselves in this pattern. And answering the question again, why am I here? Why am I a Catholic? What does it mean to me? Why does it matter? In other words, we should all think about who was it in life that talked to us? Who showed us the way? What message did we hear? What were the examples? Was it a scripture story? Was it a saint's life? Was it a kind neighbor who talked about Mass? Was it a grandma? Who knows? We all have our own story. We should figure out who was it? What changed in my life, what still needs to change, and why am I committed to following after? It's important to do this for ourselves for, I would say, two very important reasons. There's many, but I'll just give you two this morning. The first is this. I think that it's very easy for us to take for granted God's movement in our lives. We don't see it a lot of the time, but he's always working under the surface in subtle ways and important ways. And it's a good exercise for us to intentionally step back and reflect on our faith. Why? Why is my heart moved like this? Why does it matter to me? I must be able to articulate to myself. As I do, I become stronger in it, and I become very aware that God walks with me all along the way. If I don't ever take time to put myself in this movement, I don't see the movement of God in my life. If I don't reflect on it, I don't grow in it. So God invites us to step out of ourselves, so to speak, look at ourselves from without and say, why am I doing this religion thing anyhow in a world when so many people choose not to? It's a very important question to answer. And as we get down to the bottom of it, we're going to become stronger, I almost promise you, and we're going to become stronger in faith, because we're going to realize God's guiding me. He reached out to me through this person once upon a time. He moved my heart to change. He keeps me walking alongside of him. That's God. And as we learn to see him more deeply, we will grow in love for him in beautiful and important ways. So that's one reason why everybody should really put ourselves in this exercise of this movement I'm talking about. Proclamation, repentance, following after. How do we fit personally in that pattern? The other reason is because, frankly, it's a practical one. We are all responsible in our own unique way for the ongoing growth of the church. If you ask demographers, those who do surveys about religion in America and the ever-shifting landscape of our country when it comes to faith, they will tell you, not a surprise, that we are less religious now than we were ever before as an entire nation. So there's a growing group of people who identify themselves as no religion at all on surveys, a large group these days, was never true before, but now there's a big group. And then they'll say that among the Catholic population, the Catholic Church in this country is also shrinking in numbers too. Most Christian denominations are, so that's not unique to us. And of course, within that too, not only is there a Catholic shortage, there is therefore also a clergy shortage. One of them follows with the other. So in the gospel today, God calls, those four apostles follow, that's a vocation story, right? So looking around us, we know that you might say that the following after part of this movement is in trouble. It's in decline. There are fewer followers, both in the general sense or in the ordained sense, fewer of them. So one could ask, well, why is that? What brings that about? Well, if the movement I'm talking about is true, and it is, because that's the pattern, then this is a consequence of the fact that something wasn't proclaimed sufficiently, and there was not enough repentance somewhere along the line. That's the heart of the problem. So the gospel wasn't preached in its entirety, and repentance was not brought about in its necessity. So it's not about changing teachings so much, or that's always the American answer to these problems. No, somewhere along the line, the gospel was not preached and people did not change, and there's a faith shortage as a result. Point is, it's not only my job to be the proclaimer and somehow the causer, if you will, of repentance, it's everyone's job. We all get to be these great ambassadors for the God who we love so much, who brought us here into these seats this morning. And the better we get at articulating to ourselves why we're here, the better we will be at articulating to other people why they should be here too. You'll want to be able to say to these other people, here is how this has impacted my life. Here's why I am different. Here's why I would not leave. Here's why this matters to me. And as we get good at that as a whole group of people, others will come to join us, you see. So the mission of proclamation and to bring about repentance belongs to everybody in the Christian community. Not just me, but to everybody in the community. And we're going to have a much easier time with it when we have first sat down and asked, why did I repent? Why am I here? I got to answer that first before I can tell somebody else to come here. That's just common sense, no? So it's a great, important, prayerful, essential exercise. So my pitch here this morning to every one of us is put ourselves in these readings. Put ourselves in this pattern. Trace the outlines of it through our lives. Who talked to me? How did I know about God? Why did I change? Why do I still stay with it? Extremely important questions to answer, not just for ourselves, but for the sake of others who need to answer them too. That's how God brings forth new members of his kingdom in every new generation. I hope, as we go through that exercise, we're going to find ourselves feeling really blessed to be called by God. Reached out to, changed, brought into his family. What a blessing to be here. What a blessing to be in his kingdom. What a blessing to be in his good graces, walking along with him. As we know that, our faith deepens, we're going to realize that salvation itself is the greatest blessing ever. We're in this movement over and over again. Let us praise him for that and commit ourselves to inviting others to follow after him and be in the place we value and love so much, in the heart of his holy and beautiful church.